So, let's start with you, Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Paula. Delighted to be here.
Fantastic. So, can you tell us, like, a lot of people have probably heard of the European Commission, but what exactly is it?
Yes, well, the European Commission is one of the main institutions that make up the European Union. It's basically the civil service of the European Union, so we execute policies that are agreed by the member states, but we also make proposals, which is different. So we can make a proposal for a law. We don't decide on the law. The law is decided on by the member states, the representatives of the member states, and the members of the European Parliament. So we make the proposals. They are either agreed or they're not agreed, but we don't have the power to agree our own proposals, if you like. So it's quite an important, it's a civil service with an added plus, if I may say so, in that regard, in the way in which it can make proposals itself. And, of course, it is the guarantor of the treaties. We make sure that member states are respecting their commitments under the EU treaties. If they sign up to laws, that they've actually adopted those laws and integrated them into their national legislation. And, you know, basically to keep the machine that is the European Union running smoothly and to make sure all the member states are respecting their rights and obligations under the treaties.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big wheel, isn't it? I mean, with a lot of countries involved. So, I mean, what does your job involve as the representative for Ireland?
Well, Paula, I'm like the EU ambassador here in Ireland. So my job is to promote the European Union's policies. I'm also here to make sure that the European Union, so our headquarters is in Brussels, that they are also informed about what Irish people are saying and what our priorities in Ireland, so that there's a good flow of communication and information between the EU and the member states. And in this case, of course, we're talking about Ireland. I also organise visits for commissioners, so the top level of the commission, when they come to Ireland, so that they meet the relevant interlocutors, that they see interesting projects, that they get a feel for the country, as well as just meeting, you know, the senior politicians, that they also get to out there to see projects and to see how European funds are being spent on the ground, on, you know, the valuable work that's being done around the country as a result of EU funding for different purposes.
Yeah, I mean, so do you get to see the impact of the EU funding? Do you get to see much of the organisations that the EU is helping?
Absolutely. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I had the commissioner who's responsible for social policy, Nicola Schmidt, here in Dublin, and we went out to Clondalkin to visit a Youth Reach project, which was very impressive to see how young people who may have left school early or fallen through the cracks, usually quite young, 16 to 18, maybe a little bit older, how they are getting a second chance through this programme, building up their confidence and also trying to find what they really want to do in life and pursue the relevant courses that will help them get the career they want. So it was really quite impressive, and we heard from the young people themselves. So it wasn't, if you like, just the senior officials talking to the senior officials, and we don't actually know what's going on the ground. So it was a great opportunity to get out there and meet people. And this is what we try to do whenever we have VIP guest over from the commission, so that they get to see how the funds are working in practice on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better, is there, than being at the start of a chain and then seeing how rewarding this is for, you know, the kids at Youth Reach, that they're really, really benefiting from this EU money.
Yeah, well, I mean, you said, you know, the chain. I mean, we met people who had just started on this course, so they were quite new, quite shy, some of them not used to speaking in public. And then we met a group that had graduated the course. And I mean, the difference was just amazing. I mean, how they had now, they were all on different career paths. They were all very, very positive about the experience and how wonderful the staff had been in terms of helping them, you know, regain, if you like, things that may have been bullied, whatever had happened in school, the school experience hadn't worked. So, you know, it's really, I mean, we cannot possibly be happy with the situation that sees young people, so 18-year-olds on the scrap heap. This is ridiculous. They have their lives ahead of them, and we absolutely have to intervene to get things back on track.
Yeah, we were saying earlier that Ireland is not getting as much money in this period for the EU funding. What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, you know, ironically, that's a good news story, and yeah. I'll tell you why, Paula. Because when Ireland joined the European Union back in 1973, we're coming up to the 50th anniversary next year. It was the poorest country in the European Union at the time. Now, today, Ireland is ranked as the second richest country, GDP per capita, in the European Union. This is a good news story.
Yeah, definitely.
But it also means that funds that Ireland got when it needed it to bring it up to a higher level economically, they now have to go more so to other countries, newcomers, etc., who have a much lower standard of living than Ireland. Mm. And that is what, you know, cohesion means. We are trying to lift, if you like, those regions that are actually under the European average, up to the European average.
Yeah.
And those who have kind of made it have to settle for less, less of the cake. And I think that most people understand that, and it's logical. But of course, when we support a programme, we always expect, if it's a successful one, that the member states will continue funding these things if they're a success. So, you know, if you take, say, the Youth Reach, I mean, this is a great programme as far as we could judge. And, you know, even if EU funding was ever to dry up, which it's not, because these are people who need, you know, marginalised communities, etc., who are still in receipt of EU funding. So there's still some EU funding coming, roughly €1 billion on this financing period, which is usually topped up by the government to bring it up to €2 billion. So, you know, another complementary addition. So, I mean, the idea is that, you know, there will be always funding for specific reasons. For example, I mentioned Brexit. There are special funds for those countries most impacted by Brexit.
Yeah.
And Ireland is one of those countries. So Ireland got another piece of pie to help those communities, like, say, fishing communities who have specific problems because of Brexit.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ireland will get also €1 billion under that fund. So there's other sources of funding for particular problems, perhaps also linked to climate change or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But so Ireland still continues to get funds, but never, not on the same level that it got back in the 80s and 90s, when Ireland really needed that lift to bring it up to the EU average.
Yeah. It's like being part of a club, isn't it? You know what I mean? And obviously, sort of, some members need a little bit more help to bring them up to the standard of other clubs, and it's a nice kind of a balancing system.
That's exactly the principle, and it's also based on solidarity. We're in a club that believes in solidarity with its members, and, you know, we need to show solidarity to those who are living in more disadvantaged regions, if you like, more disadvantaged circumstances. And that's the whole kind of philosophy, if you like, behind cohesion.
Yeah.
We don't want to have parts of the European Union so far below other parts that, you know, it's like living on two planets.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the idea of the European Union. So, you know, that is really where we're going with cohesion policy, to lift people up at least to the EU average.
Yeah. I mean, how important would you say this funding is to Ireland? You know, so we've spoken to a few projects over the past few weeks, and we'll have a load more projects to speak to as well. I mean, how important do you think this money is to Ireland?
Well, I think it was very important, as I said, in the boost it has given over the years to, first of all, say, upskill people.
Yeah.
So people often think EU money, it's for bridges, roads, you know, that kind of thing. Yes, it is, but it's also for people.
Mm.
It's also to give to develop people's skills.
Yeah.
It's also to give them the opportunity to follow different courses that may be in demand, and therefore they, you know, their chances of getting a job is much higher. So Ireland has very, I think, cleverly, it's sort of a poster boy considered to be for the funds, how it spent the funds, because it didn't put all its eggs in one basket. It didn't just build bridges and roads. It used a substantial portion of their funding for investing in human capital, as they call it, so people, basically, And training and retraining people so that, you know, their chances of getting employment were enhanced, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that is really... And then, obviously, there are specific projects that, you know, I could mention the renewal and modernisation of the port of Rosslare, for example, now that a lot of the trucks are no longer crossing the channel and driving through the UK. We now have, obviously, a complete... new movement, if you like, of traffic through Rosslare to the continent, directly to the continent. So one of the things, a project I could mention is that. Another one is building a new bridge over the River Lee in Cork, the regeneration of the Baths in Dunleary.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things are important projects that, you know, are visible, if you like. I mean, people don't walk around with the sign on their head saying, I was trained by the European Social Fund. So you don't always, it's not always tangible.
Yeah,
you don't always see it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I first arrived in Brussels, the joke was Ireland had trained its workforce three times over because they were spending so much money on training and retraining people. But, you know, this really did pay off in the end because people had the skills when the multinationals came, etc. They found a qualified workforce here. So, you know, it did have a very good lasting impact on, you know, the development of the country and, of course, on people's employment prospects.
Mm. Well, thanks so much for that, Barbara.